I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, sleep's important, too.
Okay.
People don't realize sleep is important.
As far as I know, he didn't, and I don't know if he could have left
them. I never saw him with nights.
I think I'm going to check the news.
See, I never saw him either. And so, I'm like, are you sure you're right? He's right. I'm not wearing nights, so they pick up from the rain, and that means no.
Yeah, no.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon.
He's from New Jersey. What do you expect? He's from New Jersey. What do you expect? He's from New Jersey, wherever he is. Well, he's a Republican, of course.
Oversight.
Oh, geez. Over
campaign signs.
Not the smartest
car in the signs. Well, dare I say, I hope no one runs against me so I don't have to put a sign up. There you go. We got it all. See, I didn't bring them. So you have to call me in order to do the raises. Either I have bad eyes or something, I can't read any of that. That's about right.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Good enough.
Take your word for it.
Good enough for what we're doing. Close enough in horseshoes or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Horseshoes and hand grenades. We're ready?
I hear the bell's going off across the street, although my computer here says it's 129. So what do we do? Probably the chimes are the best one. All right. So we're going to call a meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order. We're going to do a roll call real quick, so we got it for the record.
Roll call.
Here.
Supervisor Ebell.
Here.
Supervisor Bonkowski.
Here.
Supervisor Bagwell.
Here.
Supervisor Barrett.
Here.
Very good. Okay.
Peanut gallery.
now on item number three. This is, we're not on item number three, public comment. This is the time for anybody to make comments on whether it's on the agenda or not. We'll have public comment at the end as well. Anybody want to say anything? I'm just going to say thanks to all of the folks that helped put on the barbecue for our public works and law enforcement folks and everybody who was involved with the floods this last Sunday. It was tremendous. I mean, the food was wonderful. And, you know, it's a big deal. And I know everybody was serving here. Karen, you probably did all the cooking.
Yeah.
Brad, Lori, and John were serving, and I was just kind of hanging out. But it was very, very good. So hats off to everybody. That's what makes Carson City.
And the face painters were great to the kids.
And you know, I just go, I know we got a meeting here going on, but you know about Carson City, you know, we had a good meeting out there, a good barbecue at Fuji Park. There was another little thing that happened this last, I think it was Monday or Sunday, when there was a headline that came across. Police respond to horns honking downtown.
Yes.
Do you see that?
I did.
Well, everybody know what happened there. There were two geese that walked across the street, followed by their three little, I don't know what you call baby
goslings.
Geese.
Goslings.
The goslings. And they get to the other side of the road, and the mother and father can get on the lawn near the legislature, but the three little ones can't climb up the curb. So here, the police stop traffic. A good Samaritan citizen comes out with the cop, it was an NHP guy, and they stop and they help those three little goslings up on the curb, and mother and dad just walked off. And somebody wrote, you know, on the, it was, I think it might have been one of the blogs, Carson, now somebody wrote something that just said, you know, that's what makes Carson City special. That's what it's all about. That's pretty cool stuff. All right, so you heard me talk a lot. All right. Now, on the agenda, any change to the agenda?
No change.
Well, we've only got one thing anyway, so let's change that. We're not sure. All right. Then let's take up item number five on the agenda. This is the time when we're going to review and evaluate the performance of our city manager and define and prioritize the desired outcomes of the board for these necessary for the proper operation of our city and the attainment of the board supervision policy objections to possibly establish a merit increase in effect July 1, 2017. Melanie, you're going to lead us through this to start then.
Sure. I'll start by saying this is the time and place for the board to set the objectives, to review the objectives from the past year and to set objectives going forward for this fiscal year. For the city manager, he does have a presentation for you today to go over the objectives that he's accomplished during fiscal year 2017. In addition, staff is present to answer any questions that you might have regarding the objectives.
Okay. City manager, go on.
So, to start with, Mr. Mayor and members of the board, I appreciate the opportunity to do this in an additional meeting, and I apologize because I know how busy all of you are, but I think it will lend itself to a better process than just another item in a very busy board meeting. So I appreciate the opportunity to do it in a setting like this, and I think in the end, at least from my perspective, I hope we have a better dialogue. Not that the previous dialogue was lacking, but I just think this is a better setting. And again, I appreciate your opportunity or your allowing me to present it here. So let me start with just how I see the past year since the last time you evaluated my performance. And I want to hit probably in order of importance, some of the most important either concepts or events or projects that took place over the past year. I'll try to avoid any repetitiveness to what's already in your package in terms of the spreadsheet. I'm going to put that spreadsheet up in a moment. So I'll try to reduce to the extent possible any redundancy in what I'm going to talk about now and what's already in your packages. So let me start with just kind of how I see my role here as your city manager and just in general the role of the leader. I think the most important thing I do for you is to define priorities for city staff, to resource those priorities, and to build a team. I've talked to all the department directors that the most effective measurement of any leader is the team that he or she leaves behind. And I want to be judged on that team, both the current team, some of the members are here, as well as the broader team. So if you think about it, I've been city manager now for a little over 3 years. Over half the department directors are new. So I've had an influence on not only the hire of those department directors, but even the ones who preceded me and who remained. I've influenced the culture. I've talked about things like we have to change the way we deliver government services. We have to be more responsive to the residents. We have to put systems and procedures in place that ensure the long-term sustainability of everything we do. So to me, team building is probably the most important measure of a leader. You can have a great leader who doesn't leave behind a team, and either when we get hit by the proverbial bus or when we retire or get a different job, the organization is in serious trouble. So that's why I keep coming back to the team. And I want you to think about all the key people, both at the department director level and even well below the directors in the organizational chain, of who's a new face in the past 3 years. I don't mean to leave anyone out, and I apologize in advance if I do, but if you think about our contracts administrator and how far we've come there, if you think about some of the new initiatives that we've started and some of the new people that we have that are doing it, our real property manager, our GIS manager, who are leaning heavily into the asset management program that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. Key individuals, again, several levels below both the department director and myself and the organizational chain, but they reflect that culture. The culture of changing how we deliver government services, being more responsive to the residents, and delivering a value to the taxpayer. I mean, that they're the non-negotiable principles that I've stuck by in over 3 years here. Other folks, we're the recreation superintendent, I think he's in the room here. We've upgraded our aquatics manager. I'm going to talk a little bit about public information and think about our new information management. Well, she's not new, it's 15 months now, but think about our information management officer and the impact that she had during things like our recent floods. So there's been a sea change not only at the top, but also, again, several levels down. I view that as important. I view that as the most important thing I do for you, because that will long outlast me and probably most of the other folks sitting here in this room. So again, kind of going down over the past year and how I saw the most important projects and the most important concepts that we actually tackled. The 1/8% revenue items, it was obviously the sales tax itself was divisive. Some of the projects unfortunately were as well, at least initially. I think as the public has seen them, and especially as we talk about things like the downtown, we're looking at a new restaurant across the street about to open, and what I think that restaurant owner said about Carson just a month and a half ago was pretty important, because he said, Carson City's up and coming in terms of a restaurant market. Things are happening here. And things are happening, I think, because of the tough decisions that you made a number of years ago and the hard work that the staff did to actually make that vision a reality. So the 1/8% this past year was a big year for the 1/8% revenue items. The downtown project was completed. McFadden Plaza, although part of the downtown, that was a separate project, that was completed. You can go down there either today or any nice day now here in the spring and summer and see the results of and how effective McFadden Plaza has been and will be into the future. The animal shelter is complete. The board's intent was to have an animal shelter that reflected the values of Nevada's capital city. And I don't think there's anyone in this room or anywhere in the city who would disagree that I think he hit the mark. Both those major projects came in on time, and they were both on budget. There was a lot of work that went into it, not only in Public Works, but across the staff. So I think when you look at what happened over the past year, those projects stand out. What's still to come, we've already begun to tackle it. South Carson Street, not only did we come up with a new amendment to our existing agreement with the Department of Transportation, we got funding from them as well. We got a large chunk of funding from the state. We conducted our design open houses and actually actually narrowed down the design choices to what it seemed to be the public wanted. So a lot of work has already gone into what's to come, Curry Street as well. So we're kind of just getting started on what we're doing with the 1/8% revenue items. Again, kind of hitting the most important things, the flood response. I've never been more proud of a team in a dynamic environment, and I've been in a few in my life, than I was this past winter. Not only did we fully mobilize all the elements of your city government, but they performed magnificently. The streets division, parks, the sheriff's office, fire, emergency management, the health department, everyone came together at a critical moment. And just as effective as the response and the recovery was the public information aspect of it. And I've learned that lesson a long time ago. You can be effective in what you do in terms of a response to whatever the emergent situation is. But if the people, in our case, if the residents don't perceive that, you could very likely end up with people thinking that maybe you weren't as effective as you actually were. So I think the public information campaign was very effective. We hit every media out there, web-based, social media. The mayor pro tem were recording videos. The videos got massive amounts of hits, if you remember, tens of thousands, up to 70-some thousand hits on some of them. City of 55,000 people, we made quite an impact with the information that we put out. So I think the flood response was very important over the past year. And of note, FEMA is actually going around all week to look at both our public works and our parks items assets that have been damaged over the past winter. Asset management, I appreciate both Supervisor Bagwell and Supervisor Bunkowski's leadership on this, and I think we put together a pretty good team here of people, and I think we have the right people in place that are going to see that vision to reality. In addition, you made a very difficult decision, and we also have a funding source. It's going to start out just by the nature of the property tax cap. It's going to start out low, but eventually that will pay dividends as we move through the abatement of our property tax system, and that starts generating the revenue that we need to maintain the assets at a high level of readiness. So I think the asset management program, and again, it's really the people I think we have in place right now. Certainly the systems are gonna help, cloud-based GIS provides a very easy one-stop shopping to do an inventory of every asset, to be able to monitor the condition of it. So I think, again, the people and the systems in place that are gonna be able to actually carry out your vision. Public information, I kind of hit on it on the flood. That was important throughout the year. Public information was an important part of our downtown project. We made a daily concentrated effort to reach out to all the business owners on Carson Street. There's no doubt when you tear up Main Street in a city, you're going to have an impact, and we had an impact. And unfortunately, not all the businesses survived. But we did provide and we did mitigate to the extent that it was humanly possible every negative effect of the construction. And we were out there and we provided information to not only the business owners, but the general community. The Carson Proud campaign really took off, and it provided the city engineer and our information management officer the platform to really provide all those real time, and we were updating our map in real time, if you remember. We were able to provide those real time updates to the community. So I think public information, again, another big one. Carson City Off-Road, obviously we're all proud of that. It was named the top mountain bike race in the year. That's not to say we didn't have growing pains. In our inaugural event, we did. And part of it was around our public information from the city point of view, road closures, impacts to churches and things like that. We've learned a good lesson from it. I know we still have the lights on right now, so it's a little hard to see, but you can see our red banner up on our webpage. That banner, if you remember, we had it up during the floods as well, gives a one-stop shopping page for information. We're doing it now for the Carson City Off-Road. We're going to have a public meeting tomorrow night, and we're going to update the residents for things like road closures and other negative impacts of the race. Energy performance contract. This was one of the things I had talked about in my job interview that I wanted to get done, and we got it done. There's a lot of concern right now, at least on the global level, about the president pulling out from the Paris Accords, and not to kind of wade into that controversy, but I think this board can be very proud of the fact that the city is leading the way, not only on energy conservation, but on reducing the cost to the taxpayers of the energy that we do use. So I'm very happy with that. I appreciate Supervisor Bagwell and Supervisor Abel, who had pushed along a long-term stay motel task force. And we put that together. We've actually gone through, we're on our fourth motel now. We've reduced at every motel that we've been to, the sheriff calls for services, and we've ensured that the property owner is conducting the appropriate amount of building maintenance, safety, and health type measures that the property owner needs to do. We're not there yet, and I can't report that we're even close to being there yet. The motels that we've already inspected have already started to slide backwards again. So we're going back to motels that we've already been at. So I'm working right now with the community development department, but I think we're gonna come back and we're gonna have to put some more teeth into our municipal code here. And we're probably gonna have to seek the abatement of chronic nuisances. And I understand how drastic a step and what that phrase actually means. But I think we're at the point where we're gonna have to do it. We work cooperatively.
The Navy can say it, the Marines.
Sorry, I'm trying to use like four syllables. We've worked with the property owners, and we're getting to the point where I think we're probably going to need more teeth in our code. Traffic, if you remember, we put together a citizens advisory committee to help prioritize and make decisions on where we spend our road repair dollars. That process has worked well, and I think it's going to work well as we move into a priority-based budgeting process. That's the format we're going to need. Legislative affairs. This has been a very busy year. In many cases, this is a story of the dog that didn't bark. Thankfully, either through lobbying or the governor's veto pen, we were able to really avoid, I think, any drastic or any negative impact of this session. It didn't look that way in the beginning, but it was a lot of work, and it was a lot of work from all the department directors. I want to talk a little bit about, so I'm not going to go into the details. In the end, this is just an online spreadsheet. So this is an online application called Smartsheet, and I'm just putting this up as an application to show you where we're going as city staff. So this is our internal legislative tracking matrix. The mayor, Supervisor Bonkowski, I know you're familiar with getting an Excel spreadsheet from NACO. NACO puts out every week their legislative affairs spreadsheet that has all this information on it. So what we've done is gone one better. This is a cloud-based interactive platform that in real time, as the appropriate, you know, here, this one is highlighted. So Max Cortez, in this case, or myself, so I'm the one responsible for updating the information on that particular bill. There's a hyperlink to it that you're able to actually get to the correct place on Nellis where that bill resides. You can read the full text of it. Our recommended city position here and our testimony. Again, I'm not making a big deal out of an online spreadsheet, but my point is to tell you we're going as your city staff to a more collaborative process where multiple people have visibility of the same information. If you remember the Smart Cities Conference we had about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, this is one of the concepts of providing information across. You want to break down all those individual stovepipes and provide information, real-time information, to as many people as possible. So again, in the end, it's just an online spreadsheet, but I think it's important for the concept tonight. So they're kind of the highlights. We're certainly not without our disappointments throughout the year. I think the top of the list was the summer camp program and the problems we had with it last year. We're not gonna go down that road again. We have our current staff in training right now. I'm gonna go out and talk to them all this week. That was probably the biggest miss we had all year, and one that we're still gonna have some items to clean up throughout this coming year. We didn't get our fuel revenue indexing passed. I don't know if there's anything better we could have done in terms of our information campaign, but I think that was a big one. I don't know how we could have, just by what we're able to do and not able to do, I don't know from an information point of view if there was much more we could have done as city staff. But I think this gets back to what I led off with was we've got to change the way we deliver services to the average resident, and we've got to reconnect with the residents. If you look at trust in government, it's still at an all-time low, and it's probably going lower. And I think votes like the fuel revenue indexing reflect that. So I don't know if there was anything directly we could have done in terms of like information that would have swayed it, but I do know and I do believe with all my heart that if we provide a better service to the residents, they will be much more receptive to providing additional resources. And I think that's the only way that we're going to break that paradigm. So I think, without a doubt, that was one of the bigger disappointments also throughout the year. So, pending any of your questions, I'm going to pull up what your objectives to me were throughout the past year. So again, I've covered a little bit of this. Let's start with the 1/8% revenue items. The key projects that are already complete, there's nothing additional to talk about those. So kind of the big project coming up is going to be South Carson Street and Curry Street, those two projects. So I would recommend as you're looking at objectives for next year, that one continues to be an objective. So performance metrics and performance-based budgeting. We actually did quite a lot before Michael Sologo went over to the Senior Center. We did update our performance metrics page. This isn't where I want to be yet. And I don't want to say that Nancy Paulson is going to be the panacea to all this, but a big reason why I want Nancy Paulson to be the next deputy city manager here is her budgeting and her financial background is going to be critical in making performance-based and really priority-based budgeting a reality. This is going to be a big project. It's going to be a big project for all the department directors, and it's going to be a project that requires quite a bit of public outreach. Getting priorities from the public on how they view our program is important. We may think a particular program or a particular function that we perform is critically important. The public may see it completely different. The board may see it. City staff may view something that the board sees little value in. So that's where we need to go. It's going to be a big process, and I really am looking forward to having Nancy on board to help out push that across. So transparency, this is one of the things that I'm most proud of throughout the year. We've not only enhanced our web-based transparency, everything from the open budget, open expenditures, the performance metrics page, but I think what's really important is the public information that since Rachel has become the information management officer about 15 months ago, that has really helped generate the additional public information, the additional transparency. People get to see their government in action. They see what their tax dollars are paying for. So I think this is really important. The only thing that I did add to this, and I apologize, health department's items were not in your package. So that's the only thing on this spreadsheet that's different. Is from the health department here. So budget compliance. I think this is a good news story across the board. It helps that we have a growing economy, there's no doubt. But it also helps that you have a conservative team who manages and executes your budget. And I think both Nancy and I embody that. I know we've been accused from time to time of being too conservative, but I think it's better, you know, obviously being absolutely correct would be the best course of action. But if I had to be too conservative or whatever the opposite of that would be in a budget setting, you know,
too lax,
I guess, would be the correct way.
It'll all work out.
But the opposite would be I don't know, if I had to pick one, I guess I'd rather be too conservative, but so again, I think that would probably be another one that would be important to keep. So the landfill, Darren, David Burchetta, and I actually had several meetings, and I know a couple of the supervisors, both Supervisor Abow and Supervisor Bonkowski from time to time, have been involved in some of those meetings with waste management. Single stream recycling, I think, is something that the community reflexively wants. I mean, I want it. Everyone wants it. I think when you look at the details, especially from a city government point of view, it's a little more complicated than that. We will have the ability, when we put our franchise agreement out for RFP about a year, a little more than a year from now, we will have the ability to include single stream recycling in our RFP. I've talked enough with waste management, so I think I've briefed the board a few times on what I think we would probably have to do in order for it to pencil out for waste management. A lot of this is related to the commodities market. All these recyclables in the end are commodities. In the mid-2000s, a lot of what had been driving the commodities market, the bottom kind of fell out. Most of it was being shipped to China. Much of that has been reduced well below the levels we were at the height of the recycling boom, so to speak. I think we probably have to go, not I think, if we had, if we kept waste management, we would have to go to mandatory trash pickup. We have somewhere from 20 to 30% of our residents currently don't have a waste management account. So what that tells me is 20 to 30% of the residents are taking their refuse to the landfill. They would have to now use, not only use waste management, but pay waste management. And I think the average user would see not an insignificant increase in his or her monthly bill. So I think it's very important that we look at what Washoe County and the city of Reno have recently worked through with their new franchise agreement with waste management. We were very fortunate with the Duck Hill county line, with the readjustment of the county line that came out of that Duck Hill bill, because I got a window into all the problems that Washoe County is having with their new waste management agreement that mandated trash pickup, that mandated single stream recycling, that restricted residents to only what they could fit in one waste management container as opposed to seven additional. So the benefit to me of the Duck Hill bill was I got a window into a very angry and a very confrontational resident-government relationship over waste management. Same thing in the city of Reno. So there's good lessons to be learned in how other counties have stepped through that. That said, it's something we will include in our RFP, and it's something we can consider in terms of single-stream recycling. The utility financial assistance program, I know that the UFOC has something that they're looking at. I haven't seen anything that came back from them. So, funding procedure for deferred maintenance, we've actually done quite a bit on this. So if you look at our asset management program, we've not only moved very smartly, I think, down a route that long-term is going to provide us a sustainable base of infrastructure, but I think in the near term, some of the hard decisions you made during this year's budget process kind of gets at a lot of that unfunded and deferred maintenance overhang that we've really had since the recession. So I think a combination of both asset management program that we have in place right now, as well as some of the budget decisions we made here going into fiscal year 18, is going to help out. So long-term stay motels, I think in the end we're going to need to put some teeth to what we currently have. And I'll just put it out there. I think either the property owners are going to have to properly take care of their businesses, or we're going to need to seek abatement of a chronic nuisance and all that entails. I think that's where we're going to end up with that. You know, we tried to do it in a collaborative way, and I don't think it's going to work. So, capital improvement program, I think we've also talked about that. Public Works provides a monthly report on our city projects. And I don't know how number 11 made it onto my annual report objectives, but it did. So to the extent that we could within Granicus, this problem has been corrected. Unfortunately, there's a problem I just can't. When we print it and it's online, there's always a disconnect. And we've worked exhaustively with Granicus to try and get that fixed. And it's an anomaly with the system. So, but within Granicus, we've definitely solved that problem. So I probably talked long enough. And
do it if it feels comfortable. It's fine. Before we jump back here to the board, Molly, I'm going to ask for public comment. Anybody?
Are you asking for public comment?
I have a deed.
I'm Chuck Crittenden, Vice Chair, former Vice Chair of CASI, and I'm here today to congratulate Nick on the past 3 years. Lisa Schutte and I were fortunate enough to meet with Nick 2 weeks after he started, and he was in the throes of reviewing the shelter, the animal shelter, reviewing the operation of it, and the condition of it. And he was very supportive in our agenda, and that was to promote the construction of a new animal shelter and to make some major changes in what was going on out there. So Lisa is on her way to Peru as we speak to run or climb mountains or something, maybe do a combination of both. And she asks if I would pass this on to the board. I would just love to share that I appreciate all that Mr. Marana is doing for our community. His willingness to invest in our city is a benefit to everyone. I'm incredibly grateful for his support of not only CASI, but other hardworking nonprofits that have been formed to help our community be even better. Without Mr. Marano's leadership and vision, it would be difficult to make the great progress that so many of our nonprofits have made. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Please see Lisa on the Facebook or whatever. Pass on. Be safe. Stay out of the Middle East. Right. Any other public comment? Anybody? Board, I think we're ready to talk a little bit. Is that right? Maybe I'll start off and then we can just kind of discuss where we are. One, I think that the city manager has identified what his performance criteria were, his projects were, and I think in large part those have been completed to at least my satisfaction for the last year. I mean, they're either completed or they're on the road to. There's effort being made to move towards them. I will also say that, we mentioned capital improvement projects. I don't think it's lost in anybody up here at this board or in our community that in the last 3 years since the city manager's been with us, Carson City's undergone the largest capital improvement program in its history. It's over $66 million, if I added up right. Now, those things don't just happen. They happen because of a lot of hard work. They happen because our community stands up and stretches. And, those are not easy decisions to make. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's important to know that, when other jurisdictions are having difficulty meeting their budget requirements, things of that nature, we came out of this recession with a capital improvement project. And I know we haven't talked about roads. And I don't know exactly how we're going to talk about it when we can get there. On other things, we've done some amazing things in this town. And I'd like to say, I tell the city manager all the time, I say, you make it look easy. And I think he does. And I think a large part of that is the leadership style that he has. The leadership style is one is that I'm not going to put you folks in the boat unless I'm in the boat with you. And that's what we learn. And it's a way where people, can feel comfortable, feel professional, feel good about their jobs. And I think that speaks to Nick's leadership capabilities, that he gets that. And I know we've lost some people, but I'd like to think that one of the reasons we've lost people is because through the leadership of our city, we've allowed a lot of our folks to shine and give them the opportunity to really shine so that they are looked at by other jurisdictions and people know who they are. And I think that, so I look at that as being kind of not necessarily a two-edged sword, but it's a good thing in a sense. I mean, our people are getting are being treated right. They're doing things for their family, and they're also doing some great things for our community. Let me say also that Nick mentioned before about hiring for the future, and I think I think you used the word that's critical. I too believe that that's critical. Particularly as I get older, I think it's more and more critical that we hire folks either in the beginning areas of their career or at least middle of their career, so that they have room to grow in our community, and so that we have a plan of continuity going forward. And I'd like to think that we've done that through the city manager's leadership. I mean, just a few of them we've done: the asset management coordinator, the recreation director, Dan's back there, Parks and Rec, city engineer, fire chief, planning, and I think all of those folks are, you know, either in one stage or another, they're in the beginning stages or middle stages of their career, and will make a positive influence for Carson City as we go forward. And I think one of the biggest things that he's done for our community is customer service. It's also the hardest thing to get done. We all up here get complaints, and people, you know, sometimes we get people who say good things, but there are a lot of complaints, and that's probably how it should be in a democracy. And we're a small community, we get complaints. But his goal and his direction to his staff is, you will answer every complaint that you get some way, somehow, within 24 hours, they'll have a person looking at it, so they'll either know that their complaint's going to get rectified or somebody's looked at it. And I can tell you, and I think you all, the board up here agrees with this, that not only does he walk the walk, when he talks about that, he walks the walk, because he's out there all the time talking to people who have complained. I can't tell you how many times I get a response back to say, you know, we had a complaint, the city manager's out here the next day, and it's a city manager, he's out here. Those things are what make a community. Those things are what make a sustainable community, but they really make a community. And so I think, you know, in those terms, it's probably the biggest thing that I think you've done in terms of transparency and community service. But let me just conclude a little bit here with some things that I'd kind of like to see going down the road. One, she won't mention it, but I'm going to mention it. We need to get the lights fixed in the Sierra room. Yeah, we need to put LED lights in there, because we have people who are getting headaches in that room, so we need to get rid of the fluorescent lights.
Okay.
I mean, and I hate to say, you know what, but that's really kind of a priority, because we want people to be able to devote their entire day and their entire, you know, their mind towards these things and not having to worry about lights creating an issue. Second, on waste management, I think, you know, my own two cents is that, you know, I know waste management. They're a large company, and I know we're going to do an RFP. But I'd also like to remind the city manager that, you know, we've had local folks between Douglas County and South Lake Tahoe who can help us, one, either work through those RFPs or indeed perform for us. I mean, it's a local, you know, cooperative agreement between Douglas County, South Lake Tahoe, and Carson City. Those things ought to be looked at, because not that they're not going to, you know, it's not maybe not the be all and end all, but it will give us a barometer to look at. When we get an RFP back, we can actually tell, you know, if somebody's blowing smoke at us or we're really getting the true statement. And so I'd like to see that. I'd like to see a lot of work go into the RFP. I know waste management has been around for a long time. We want to get some good responses in, so we can make an informed decision on how we want to move forward in terms of our environment and delivery of waste, or disposal of waste. I think we also ought to look for ways to save money in our energy contracts. What we've done, we have a $4 million contract now, and I think we ought to continue to do that, not just to save energy and save money, but to also reduce our carbon footprint, somewhere like the city manager was talking about. And one other thing, in terms of how we operate in Carson City, you know, I've had Reno, and I think board members, maybe you've had it as well. I've had representatives of Reno and Washoe County come down to Carson City to look to see how we do planning. And I know that the mayor and a couple others want to meet with our planning folks and us to look at, you know, what can they do downtown, what do we do? People are starting to, I guess the message there is, people are starting to look at how we do things here in Carson. And so, you know, and I think that's a positive thing in terms of how we move forward in our community. And then I know that we have an issue, or not an issue, but there's a question as to whether or not the city manager should receive a merit increase. My own sense is that he should, and he probably may say he's not going to take it. I don't know, but I think he should take it. And I think that he's demonstrated that he's worth every penny of at least the 3% merit increase that we generally give. It's been talked about at the state level when I closed down the session last night. And some numbers, if you did a 3% increase, that would be about a $5,000 increase. Nick makes $174,000 some odd dollars now. In Washoe County, the top, the city manager makes $234,000. In Douglas County, there's a range between $137,000 and $188,000. In Lyon County, they're a little lower. Their spread is between $112,000 and $169,000. And Sparks has their city manager makes $197,600. So if you did a 3% increase and you took it, that would be about $5,000. Moved to about 179, thereabouts. And it'd still be within the bailiwick of what our surrounding counties are. So I appreciate the board letting me talk and lay some things on the table and so we can talk about all these things and go forward. So whatever next. Supervisor Ray Bell.
Well, Nick, I think you've done a tremendous job this year. There's two words, responsiveness and accessibility. You're always there and you always respond, even if it's in the middle of the night. So you're really good about dealing with whatever it is, whenever it needs to happen. Some of the things that I see going forward that I want to specifically state in terms of goals is reviewing and revising environmental health department policies and procedures and making code changes where necessary. I think that's something that we've got to look at. I agree with Bob with regards to looking at all options with regards to the landfill. I think that's crucial going forward. If at all possible, I think we need to further explore internet connectivity citywide. As you know, and we deal with it, for those of us that live next to the mountain, it's pathetic. So I think, and I'm sure there's other areas of town that are equally as bad, so we need to work through that. I would agree that we need to add some teeth to what we currently have going with regards to our extended stay motels. And with regards to roads, if at all possible, I'll just coin John's phrase, pot for potholes, I think is a viable consideration that we should look at going forward. And lastly, I too agree that you deserve a merit increase. Whether you take it or not is your choice, but you've earned it. You work hard, and I just think it's part of something that you deserve.
Okay. Generally, when I give an evaluation, I look at the overall value that an employee brings to the organization. And in my 38 years of being an employer, I literally hired and fired hundreds. Thousands of people. And so when I look at your job performance over the last 3 years and how easily you could be replaced and the value that you have brought to Carson City, I would give you absolutely the highest marks possible. I think that that we made an exceptional decision by bringing you to Carson City, and thank you for taking our offer. And the problem with doing such a good job is that you set a very high bar for your performance. And so any issues that I have with your performance are because that bar has been set so high. I think that you can still work on, and you and I have talked about this, that it's time to step up your game and bring that deputy manager on board, because you have taken on so much responsibility that things sometimes fall through the cracks. And sometimes you are not able to get back to people simply because of the fact that you've been overwhelmed. So I think that that's a priority, is to get that implemented so that you can lay off some of your responsibilities that you've taken on to somebody else and go into more of a supervisory role over those items. I agree generally with Bob and Karen's comments on everything that they brought up, especially with the RFP to for waste. I've met with some local purveyors who are very interested in submitting RFPs, and I think that we need to look at them very closely. It's one of the items that I get the most complaints about is waste management. And you're correct, Karen and I have met with waste management, and I think Bob, you were at the meetings too. And just trying to resolve an issue which we thought was fairly simple about bear-proof containers, I felt we got completely stonewalled on that. So if they're not interested in working with us, then I'm definitely interested in looking at other purveyors to make sure that we're getting the value that we need to get for our citizens. I will support a merit increase. You definitely deserve it. Again, what you take or not is up to you, but you definitely earned it. So overall, I don't want to say you're irreplaceable, because nobody's irreplaceable, but I am very happy with your job performance, and I honestly don't think we could have found anybody that could have done a better job. But at the same time, there's still items that we want to continue to work on and do better at.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm up next. So I'd like to propose a potential goal for next year, because I already can just reiterate the things that the three have already said. But I'd like us to consider one of the negative things that I get continually on emails from residents is we spend a lot of money cleaning up our downtown, but our community isn't clean. And I just got in the mail the neat thing from our landfill that lets everyone have a free clean up your own South Day. But we have a ton of the wranglers that clean up the river. We really have more pride in our community, but I was thinking, what as a team we had and went with our Carson Proud and really had a cleanup day. Like the weekend before Memorial Day is an open day at the landfill, and everybody cleans up their weeds, and we have the Boy Scouts. We have everybody come together on a Carson Proud Day, and we can have groups that if you're disabled or can't clean up the weeds in your front yards, and that we just develop that pride in our community, and I think the whole community would embrace it. So it's just a thought that I would like us to have a Carson Proud Day.
Lori, if I could just jump in on your comment there. I drove up and down Carson Street today and just looked at all the commercial properties and all the weeds growing out of the sidewalks, yes, and in the landscaping. And we have epigrites coming up. It would be really nice if we could at least try to knock down some of those weeds before we import 20 or 30,000 people into our city. And I know that's coming up, very quickly, but I was shocked when I actually took the time to look at how our property owners are not maintaining
it.
It's bad. I said it all very positively, however, that I look forward to our community embracing the Carson Proud Day, and I think if we reflect it at the city level, that it will be the dominoes, and I know that there's a ton of all these different civic organizations and clubs, and I think we could, for a month, if you can't do your own cleanup and need help because you're disabled or you just don't have the wherewithal anymore to do it yourselves, that we're going to get teams out there. The sheriff's office is going to bring out the crew, whatever. One day a year we could have a Carson Proud Day. So I'd like to just put that out there as a potential goal.
We have hot dogs.
At Fuji Park in the end or something. But whatever. Anyway, it's just a thought to bring an entire community spirit.
That's an excellent idea. I think I'm glad you raised that, because the weeds and the cleanliness are a big deal.
It's a big deal.
You know, so
some of that is, you know, we can deal with it.
I want to do it in a positive way to say the community will embrace this opportunity.
Well, I'm absolutely correct, so you can be the positive
one. I'm being positive. I want to work on, I think we've gone a very long distance in our transparency and things, but somehow our messaging in water rates, sewer rates, usage of water especially, that people believe like you only water every other day and not on Mondays, it's to conserve instead of it's to recharge our systems. So anything we can do to help spread the message of why we do what we do in the water system to change the flow of the misinformation that's out there in the community. Do we have enough water? We don't have enough water. I'm constantly battling that in the community, that how dare we grow when we're being forced to conserve water and we don't have enough. And so I know that even though I wasn't in favor, if we've done this now where we have Courtney that's gonna be doing 5% of her time in the water sewer fund, then let's take advantage of that and really work over this next year to properly message the true water sewer and even stormwater that is coming up for discussion. I think that sometimes, and messaging is the right word, is how do we get the proper and correct information out to the public so they understand why the board and the staff are going in a certain direction. What happens is it gets on an agenda, there it is, and we're just motoring on, you know. But the public doesn't come that quickly. And so anything we can work towards messaging sooner, public workshops or opportunities for comments, things like that, I think will grow what you talked about, which is the community support and the people understanding why we're going where we're going. And so I would like us to work in that arena. I'd like to see one of the spreadsheets put together that shows us each of the codes sections, because one of the things we talked about was making sure all of our codes were up to date and had been codified with current statutes and things like that, and that we keep that maybe as a report to us quarterly or something, like how are we doing? We've been through 2, 3, 4, we have 9 to go. You know, how are we doing on all of it? Because I certainly think in going on with what Karen said earlier on the environmental health, I've been talking with Nikki in a little bit. I think we'd like to do some public hearings in that arena also, not just at the board level. I'd like to get some community involvement in some of those code areas. So I see us working in that endeavor. I want to say I think you've done a good job, and I don't have a problem with the 3%, and I don't think it's a forced answer, just like none of ours were forced. It's up to you whether you want to take it or not, but I don't have a problem authorizing the merit. I think you care about your community and that it shows in everything that you do. And I think that's what we need in a city manager, somebody that's heart's there. I appreciate that you live here. I know it's not a requirement of city employees and things, but I think it goes a long way for the community that you do live here, you are active here, and you do go to events and things. I just think that matters.
I think we actually put it into your contract.
I know, but I think it matters. I just think it matters that you have skin in the game. You know, this is your community as much as it is anyone else's.
You
and
know,
so
we're all up here. I've heard people, if you don't live here, you know, you don't really know what's going on in your community.
And you don't care. We're,
that's true.
So I just want to say that I do appreciate that very much about you. Being responsive to the public, I think, is important. I don't know how we sometimes message when it's not positive, because it's not always going to be positive, right?
Right?
We are going to have some interactions with the public where they don't like our answer. And so I do occasionally get complaints that say, oh, I don't like how he responded to me. Well, I don't think he was going to come up with any answer that was gonna work. So I appreciate that you're out there, though. The fact that you go and visit people, like you said, one-on-one, and you'll is just kudos. Kudos, Nick, for that. So thank you. Good year.
Well, I'll start right where, almost right where Lori had left off. I echo what she says about you living in the community, whether it was required or not. You obviously didn't think twice about that, and that was not a problem for you. It is a problem for me that that example isn't followed by everyone, and I know Carson City isn't as conducive to some people at the lower end of the salary range living here. They might be able to find, you know, less expensive housing nearby, but outside the city. But I think the skin in the game comment is a huge thing, and I think every employee should be given an encouragement to think about that aspect. If you can get that imbued through the culture, it would be helpful to me, because where people live and where they shop and where their kids go to school and where they do whatever they do is a huge thing. And we are a compact little community here compared to the other counties. And I understand it's not always easy for everyone. But anyway, I'll take off from there. But I echo what almost everyone here has said about your responsiveness and your accessibility. I'm only on this board a half a year, so I'll try and make my comments about half as long in the interest of brevity. But I do have some things I want to talk about, and one of them is the transparency. I think you've made great strides in transparency in relationship to when I got here more than a decade ago, or not more than, about a decade ago. And I don't think the previous city manager was against transparency, but I think he could have done a better job. Let's just leave it at that. However, and I sometimes think this has as much to do with something that I talked about, the Holy Grail, the other day, that is part of the Holy Grail of where I came from, the news business. In transparency, sometimes I think the open meeting law can get in the way. It's a great law, don't get me wrong. But I was aghast, and of course I was running for office rather than in office when it happened, at what you identified as one of the unfortunate failures of the last election cycle, the loss of the 3 cents. And attorneys give us good advice, I know that, and we're supposed to follow it as much as we possibly can. But everyone, basically, was paralyzed in public life in this community regarding what could be said regarding the 3 cent gas tax indexing. And I don't think that Patrick or Darren or you or anybody had any choice in that, but I do think that people on this board might have stepped up, and I'm not knocking anyone in particular. I was running. I probably should have stepped up at that juncture. But my courage wasn't real high since I was running for office, so I'm not going to say anything bad about my colleagues. But at the same time, what I would like to charge you to do going forward is find a way to funnel us or me information, because this can't be over. Everyone knows I've been harping about roads, and I think everyone agrees with me here, but they don't know where to go to get the money. The public, as Lori has said, doesn't always get on the same page with us. I won't say they don't understand. I actually think they do understand some things about government in general, and that is that we spend a lot of money. We, not necessarily in Carson City, although $150 million is a piece of change, we spend a lot of money in government across the board, and they get taxed at the federal level, they get taxed at the state level, they get taxed at the local level. They get fed to death, and they're saying to themselves, I'm going to vote against it just because it's an increase, and they want us to find, you know, money somewhere else. But we still have to go out and find the money, either by digging it out of what's already been funded in previous years, or we have to find a new revenue source. So if you could find ways to do both and present them to us, I think that would go a lot farther than just saying, oh, we need nothing but new revenue. So that's why I appreciate the comments that I've heard about pot for potholes. That is a new source, and it's not going to be much, and we certainly don't want to emphasize that as a big deal on marijuana, but at the same time, the money's coming in. Let's spend it on roads, because people in this town really are, a lot of them, fed up with our roads, and especially after the last winter that we had. So transparency to us on how can we do this, if it includes going to gravel on the fringes, go to gravel on, you know, tell us that. We'll find a cell whatever we can, if we can find a package and a way to, you know, let the people know what we're going to have to do. Maybe tell them they're going to have to drive on gravel and make them see it differently next time around.
There are actually committees that are doing that.
That's right.
I think we might
That's
have
right.
to. There's some choices that did that up in Timberline. It did pack down pretty well. It's on the road surface now.
It's actually not bad.
Yeah, it isn't. So just saying, you can go in that way.
Sorry, on the landfill, I agree with everything that's been said here. I went through a Cablevision situation when I lived in the Midwest, where we had one supplier of the Cablevision. Here we have more than that, or we have options. We didn't have options there, and they tried to talk a good game, but the truth of the matter is that they had us by the throat. Everybody knew it. And I think waste management kind of has gotten, well, we're a big company, let's face it, and we're a little city. So we should try and get the best deal out of them we can, and that one of the ways is to really be aggressive on our RFP about finding competitors, if you want to call them that. So I echo what's been said on that. I would like a report on how we're spending our redevelopment dollars and how we can go in the future a little more. I understand some of it, and I'm on the Citizens Committee. I'm learning as I go. But we will have some money coming open as time goes by. I've already told people I'm not on board with the way it's been done in the past, and I think I'm going to stick to that unless somebody comes to me with the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I'm not a big bread eater anymore. I'm too fat. So it's going to be tough to sell me, you know, the things that we've done in the past. I think we can use that money better. So if we could get a report together, not in any big rush, but sometime in the next year, I'd like to have a full airing of that situation. No one here has mentioned workforce development, and it's not really in our wheelhouse, but I would like also what you can come up with as creative ideas outside the box that this city can do to help with workforce development. One of the problems we have in this community is that people leave, and there's a reason that people leave. Maybe some of that's going to change because we have more to offer now in northern Nevada. But I don't want them even moving to Reno. They're going to. Kids do that. I'm 19 now. I'm getting out of the house. I'm going to Reno. But we want to make it so they want to come back. And we need to make sure that the talent that's in this community, as best we can, stays here. WNC is doing a good job. I was just at Rotary before we came to this. And Emily Hoarth was speaking there about their program to get manufacturing technical people up and running, and I'd like to see what we can do to pair with that and attract people to stay. Go ahead and, you know, maybe they could live outside of Carson City and drive the trip, but come into town because they're close. But whatever we can do along those lines, if you could give us a report on that, I'd appreciate it. I'm a big advocate of culture. Everyone on this board and everyone in the city knows it. I ran partly on that and roads when I ran for election. And so I'd like to find a way as soon as we can to figure out what we're going to do about the Bob Dobrik Theater. It's a great thing in this town. And we have some great productions from WNC again, that to mention WNC a second time, that go down there in the musical reviews and the musical theater. But I came here, and the first time I sat in those chairs 10 years ago, I said to myself, my God, I can't sit here for 2.5 hours. It's just an atrocious thing. If we do nothing else, I'd like to replace those seats and then maybe follow up with the rest of the stuff that we have in mind. It's at the bottom of the 1/8 cent pile, but I'd like to see if there's any way that we can fit it in, move it up, etc. Let's see, I'm looking at the wrong glasses here. Oh, I'm on board with anything that you can bring to us that will tighten up the situation on long-term stay in motels and the motel's quality. If they're going to let people live there, and we're going to expect that to be our affordable housing for the foreseeable future, we need to see that those people have a quality of life that's a little better than they've been getting. And if we have to tighten up things, that's great. Let's do it. Finally, I have a question from a single constituent, but we can talk about that afterwards. I'll put it out here, though. I'm curious about it. These people probably already know most of it, but I was asked by a person who was very involved in the quality of life issue 21 years ago. How it's important that it comes out of open space money when something's brought to this board. Is that apportioned out of our salary, out of our board meetings, et cetera? How do we pay for things? Because I know we do this allocation system, but I'm real vague on it, so I'd like a tutorial on that. You can answer that later.
At a board meeting? Or what?
Well, board meeting, and I know that we share costs among departments, all the rest of it.
Cost allocation?
And, yeah, the cost allocation for things. He's under the impression, and I think he got it from...
We did.
Okay. Well, he was under the impression from Pete Livermore that...
Oh, no, we fixed that that issue. Yeah, yeah. We already do not charge this board for open space.
Right.
Right.
I am still curious as to how the allocation system works generally. I assume it's for the one of the reasons is we don't want departments fighting amongst each other over what little funding we all have. So, but whatever, I'd like a tutorial on that at some point in the future.
Percentages of the question 18 funding?
Well, that was what he was asking about. I'm just curious about the whole allocation system myself. But I now have the opportunity to go back to him and say, that's been solved. And I kind of told him that. Okay. As a matter of fact, I talked to him at our function last Sunday, and he brought it up, and he brought it up to me before. And the answer I got was that the board is out of general fund and doesn't come out of open space or any of that other stuff. But I wasn't sure, so I wanted to nail it down so I can go back to it. So he got that from Pete, which is obviously a long time ago.
Well, the legislature, Pete had brought a bill to the legislature because he thought Carson City was inappropriately expensing cost allocation to the open space ballot question. And so what we did then is Carson City has said, you don't need to do the ballot measure. We will follow the federal section A87 that says your legislative governmental operating branch shall not be charged. So the Board of Supervisors is not charged to the open space.
You did it on a QT. There was no transparency. I'm kidding.
So this is pretty good. I mean, you actually get the code section cited. So.
I didn't know that one.
But
anyway, so we are, we do not charge for our board.
That was just a side, and I was willing to find out afterwards, but I found out right away. Good.
That's been met. The thing that you have, though, is to discuss is if any slight change is needed in the ratio, because I think we can move 1% to 2%. You know, you can't do anything else than that because of the ballot question, but one of the discussions that I saw in open space still is that we are putting dollars towards purchasing, you know, land buyouts. And so I think maybe we do need an update on why are we keeping money? Are we close to being done? Because the issue is we can't even take care of the land that we have. So unless it's truly a connectivity piece, and so I would love to see a report as to what properties do we think we're missing? And why are we looking to purchase anymore?
At the end of the day, I think, if I remember the board meeting right, they said, the Open Space Committee said, you know, we're moved off of acquisition and we're now on maintenance.
Yeah, you did it by consensus.
But we kept like a couple hundred thousand in acquisition dollars, because I just want to make sure that the only one we're finishing is the Fagan land swap property, and then are we done after that? So we could have that as a briefing or something at a board meeting.
So, Mr. Mayor, I have one more comment, and that is that if it's this board's will that the city manager get a merit increase, I'll go along with it. But, of course, I've only been a half year, so I'm only going on with 1.5%.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good, actually.
You know, so leave it to the First Amendment.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, if somebody makes a motion, I'm not going to stand in the way.
Well, I think we got other comments. Vic, you got anything to talk about? Folks, we came over to this room so we could have kind of a different atmosphere when we discuss these things. I mean, it's kind of like more of a boardroom discussion right here, so that's why we came over here.
Some more just general. Yeah. Now that my, my wheels are turning a little, so I just happen to be, sorry, Lee, you're like in my line of sight over here. But at the last board meeting, we were doing some updates, just piecemeal, into the redevelopment plans. And so I'd like more of a long-range discussion in redevelopment, because one of them will be ending in, 2034. Where are we going? Where are our bonds?
If I'm not mistaken,
some bonds extend beyond the life. Some payoffs to the Campani deals, the Michael Hull deals.
That's what I was asking for.
I don't know. I just like to look at all of it. The incentive plans exceed. The incentives are a contractual debt. So I'm concerned as to where are we going? And I'd rather, as a community, deal with these issues, because I am a great advocate of not kicking things down the road and leaving it for the guy to deal with when they hit 2034 and have a problem. So
you bring up a good point, because those incentives are subject to appropriations. So if the redevelopment district dissolves at a given date and there's still incentives that are contractual, they're still subject to allocation.
I think it's appropriate for us to get some legal opinions, get some discussions out there, make sure that the bodies that are the other half of those agreements recognize it.
Yeah.
But guess what? It might not be happening. And then one of the other things that I noticed inside, and maybe it's just a consistency issue, is to validate through both of the plan documents which items generate at the redevelopment authority level versus those items that start at RAC. And so I think I notice a little inconsistency in the plan that says something should come through RAC first, and they don't. We deal with them straight at the board level. So just if we could review through those plans also for any updates, suggestions, changes that should be dealt with.
That brings to mind, and that is the structure of the Planning Commission, which is becoming ever more critical to this board. And I'm thinking that perhaps just as the Historic Commission has specific requirements for members for that board, that it should come to us to discuss, what the composition of that board should be.
I want to agree with that, because I don't think it's fair to just ask the public to apply if we really want conditions and we're looking for particular caliber of people, or we want certain skill sets, or I think that that's important to
I think that's an ordinance change, right?
When we look at it,
it's an ordinance. That would be an ordinance change. That's okay.
Because your only current requirement, well, actually, there's the resident and the district code.
Right, exactly.
So I think a little more teeth on that one might be appropriate.
I think it's a disservice to the applicants at this point.
Yeah, I do too. And it's too critical going forward. We haven't had a lot going on for a while. Now we do.
Yeah, now we are, yeah. That's why I want to relook at the redevelopment, because we may wind up with some money to spend if things continue the way they are. That would be nice, but I'd like to spend it differently.
So, let me just start with where we left off with RDA. One of the things we had kicked around was the establishment of a sinking fund. So over the course between now and when the redevelopment area expires, we would set aside, we would build up a sinking fund that would meet the city's obligation post REA to pay those incentives. So we still have some work, obviously have quite a bit of work to do with the DA to make sure everything we set up is going to be copacetic. But I think that would be better than doing an annual appropriation if we had a sinking fund set up, and over the course of the next 12 years, we would monetize that so that we can meet our obligations. Waste management, the landfill came up. I'll try and put together a synopsis of Washoe County's difficulties they've had with their new franchise agreement. And again, that Duck Hill bill was kind of a window into a very angry, more than anything, once we got into the community meetings, it was waste management that really had the residents' ire. And waste management was saying, hey, we've done everything the county wanted to do. Everything that you're complaining about is what the county said they wanted to do. So perhaps there was some passing of the buck there, but there's also, to me, there was a lesson learned in some of the things the county did want, waste management implemented, the residents were definitely not happy about. Waste management, I think, potentially exacerbated it through maybe, I'm not accusing them, maybe a poor level of customer service, but certainly the big items that the residents were angry about was exactly what the county wanted waste management to do. Was it executed effectively? I don't know, but there's a cautionary tale in there for us in how we step through this.
Two issues on that. Just I'm recalling now some complaints that I got in emails. So if you're going to be writing down things to look for, one was to be careful when it's a management company might have the trash and then individual trash, but they were paying twice. So they're paying as their homeowners association, and then they're getting nailed at the individual house. So please be careful on developments that have common trash areas versus every resident then getting a bill.
Okay.
So that there's not a double taxation in that. And then inclement weather, a whole bunch of people up in the Kings Canyon area sent me emails that like 3 weeks in a row they had no trash pickup up there, even though they took it all the way down thinking it would be picked up and it didn't. So anyway, just inclement weather might be another.
Oh, that's the first I've heard of that.
Just passing on the two complaints now that I'm thinking about it, get rid of those.
Well, and Nick, you know the complaint with regards to commercial and glass pickup and that sort of thing, especially for restaurants and the amount of glass that is generated, and when they're lax in terms of pickup, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about waste management. So if we do single stream or some modification of single stream, it's probably going to have to go mandatory curbside.
Well, and do you want me to explain why?
No, well, you can, but and you probably should. I mean, but I think, you know, the message I'd like to leave is, let's don't get caught in the middle of 2018 with saying, oh, we need to go single stream, and now we've got an uproar.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to cross that bridge with our community in advance of that. Say, you know, these are the pros and cons of going single stream, and, you know, do you want to stand up for mandatory curbside recycling or don't you? And I mean, there are more questions than that, but I think, you know, we need to start that outreach so that we don't get caught having an RFP out there and then we have to say, well, maybe we can go single stream, maybe we can't, whatever. So feel free to talk to me. Yeah.
Without some public meetings or public hearings on that, maybe having significant input from the public, I wouldn't put out a single RFP. I'd put out an RFP with Alt-A.
With alternates, right. And that's how we view it.
Yeah. Because the single stream's going
to
cost.
Because I honestly don't see us being able to go single stream. I mean, having gone through those meetings, having talked to parties about that, it more than doubles the cost. It requires mandatory curbside service. There are so many issues with it that I don't think we're going to get through the public, that I think that we're still a significant ways from reaching them. But that doesn't mean that we can't continue to take steps to implement it in the long term. term? I don't think that we're even close to getting a single stream at this point.
Yeah, I know the guy that used to sit in this chair was a big single stream advocate, and I'd love to do it, but I don't know people. I know a lot of people in this town who wouldn't want to pay for it when they had to get there.
People that want it don't understand what it's going to cost.
That's right. That's right. And that doesn't say it closed the door. If we can get a good deal,
we have to do some public outreach.
Right.
And outreach and find out. And you may be right. Maybe cost prohibitive. But just do the due diligence on it. I mean, that's all.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. We don't want to get caught in a contract at the end and say, well, we lost an opportunity or we didn't. And I know you know all that stuff. So.
Well, and that's part of the problem with the government's perception of government. The government's perception of government is that we can fix it, but we don't. Or that we can keep the cost down, but we don't. And sometimes we can fix it, sometimes we can keep the cost down, but other times we can't, and they don't understand why, and it's tough. So the mayor's comment's right. It'll take a lot of due diligence before we go down this road. Because it's just going to be another cost that they say, it's government's fault. They won't say that's the provider's fault.
So we should try to see if we can get some sort of concession on the bear-proof containers, since that's come up several times. And then the other thing that I've heard of many times over the last 5 years is the impact the garbage trucks have on our streets. So if we can at least open up a conversation at this point about some sort of impact fee concession in the contract for the wear and tear on the streets. And that may be a revolutionary concept. I don't know that anybody's ever talked about that, but they do have a significant, if not the most significant, impact on our residential streets.
Okay. Yeah, they're as heavy as semis, and semis don't go down those streets. That's right.
So streets is actually a pretty good segue to another topic that was, I think, all of you talked about. So, to me, the most relevant comment I got during the debate, whether it was a debate or not, but during the election campaign for the fuel revenue index was, I don't like how you currently maintain the streets. Why would I give you any more money?
Yeah.
Maybe for a lot of people like us, that sounds counterintuitive, like, well, didn't you answer your own question? To me, that got right to the heart of what the central problem is. And the central problem is, I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. You haven't demonstrated to me good stewardship of the money I give you. Why do I give you any more money? Yeah, I mean, we could sit here and say it's partly an education process. We have to explain to them, hey, this is a structural funding problem. We don't, even if I was 100% more efficient than I am right now, I'm still only at about 20 to 25% of what I need on an annual basis. So part of it is going to be showing and proving to the public that we're more responsive. And I think the Traffic Advisory Committee was a first step down that road, more public outreach. But in the end, we're going to need more revenue. Pot for potholes came up a couple of times. If you want to go down that road, it's not, and based on the best assessment I have done, it is not an insignificant amount of revenue you could be looking at here. Mm-hmm. So I know there's good arguments on both sides of the issue. Do you zone in or do you not zone in retail establishments? If you do decide, and we're going to get into this on June 15th at the board meeting in more detail, but if you do, Senate Bill 487 passed yesterday. That would authorize the Board of County Commissioners the ability to impose a 3% gross revenue fee on these retail establishments. Based on that and their projected taxable sales, with a conservative estimate, that's about $750,000 additional dollars of new revenue. Conservative.
Per year.
That doesn't include cultivation.
That doesn't include, Mr. Mayor, cultivation. Cultivation has a separate excise tax levied at the state level.
487 allows us to put a 3%
gross on that one as well.
Yes, we could also put.
I think it includes all the 3%.
The 3% includes the cultivation, but in addition is what I'm saying, there's a 15% state excise on cultivation. So after they grow it, they sell it at the wholesale level, there's a 15% excise on that wholesale transaction. The counties are going to get a cut of that.
The total is 5 million.
5 million total for all the counties.
5 million per year away anyway.
Per year for the counties. What's our cut? I don't know yet. I don't know if taxation has published that. I haven't seen it. So
will it be based on population?
I'm not sure.
Based on population or receipts?
I'm not sure. Okay. And I don't know if it's going to be based on only the counties that opt in or all counties. I don't know. I don't know the answer to either of those questions yet. I'm not sure anyone does. My point is, I think it's more likely that you will have just north of $1 million of new revenue per year should you decide to opt in. So, as you're talking about pot for potholes, I think that, again, is a reasonable and a conservative estimate of what the new revenue could be.
I do have some comments on this as well to address John's comments from earlier. Patrick, can you come up too, please? John, you had made the comment that during the time previous to the election that we had an opportunity maybe to step up to try to advocate for this. And I just want to let you know that we actually did.
Oh, I think you did as much as you could.
Well, we got sidetracked, but there's a way where you can create a PAC that money could be donated to, and then they can advocate for that. And that takes us off the hook. And Patrick can kind of give you some details. And this is what they did down in Clark County. So it's not the county that does it necessarily, it's the PAC. And I actually met with all of the players in the industry, being the big paving contractors, mm-hmm. to try to get them to create this PAC and fund it so that we could have some, or so that there would be some funding to advocate for this. And it got sidetracked by the Washoe County school bond issue. And that's a perfect example. It took them 3 go-rounds to get that approved because it had to get to the point to where it was so critical that the public could no longer ignore it and needed to vote for it. And that, I see, is a very similar issue to possibly the roads.
I appreciate that. My comment was that in terms of going forward, as I said, I wasn't particularly any less of a chicken than anybody else, and I wasn't accusing y'all of being chicken. But I don't care now. I'll take the heat, and I'll get out there, and I'll say anything that I think is needed to be said to let the public know we can't go on this way.
Well, the mechanism, I think, is the same. It's
but the PAC is a great idea.
And, Patrick, if you could just briefly kind of tell us what Clark County did, because they were successful.
Well, yeah, if I, Patrick Bittinger, Transportation Manager, I want to touch on a few things. You're absolutely correct about the PAC.
You don't get to. You're leaving.
I'm actually leaving for a county that, you know, to the point that people don't pass things on their first vote. The county I'm going to, they just did pass a vote this last November, but they're eager to point out that that was their fourth try before they were able to pass it. There were several different things. There definitely was a PAC, that it was a well-funded PAC, and you had private entities that were out there that were absolutely promoting it. But in addition to that, and certainly Supervisor Bonkowski is correct about that, but in addition to that, their version of, we have a group called Traffic here, they have a group called Track down there. That group did advocate very strongly for the passage of their gas tax down there. That group as a body, it was not, those were not government employees, they were able to do so, they did advocate. And another really important point is actually what the city manager pointed out was the trust. In the case of Clark County, they actually legislatively got a 10-cent increase without a vote of the people. It took a vote of their board, but not a vote of the people. And with that 10 cents, they very brilliantly leveraged that to gain the trust of the people. They built numerous projects with that 10 cents, and they were very open and very transparent about showing people, we spent this money, and you can trust us that if you vote for this much larger sum of money, we will be able to implement that well, you know, in addition to what we've already done. So it was definitely the PAC that did a lot of good, but it was definitely a multi-pronged approach. And they had that ability to build the trust with the residents with an initial tax not voted on by the people.
So my perspective on this is that we should be starting to gear up for 2018 now, or 2019 for the session. We should be continuing to try to work on the formation of the PAC with the appropriate players in the industry. This is something that we can bring up to traffic over the next year, but we were just too far behind the eight ball this go around to be effective. We need to be working on it now to gear up for the next election and then legislative session to try to address this again, because I think what's going to happen now based on this last session is that the Republicans could actually lose their veto proof numbers, and that you may end up having in the next session the legislature controlled by the Democrats on both sides, and they'd have the ability to override vetoes. And if that's the case, although that wouldn't be my preference, then there could be an opportunity at that time to get something through the legislature to enable us on some road indexing or fuel indexing or some sort of road revenues. And frankly, you know, my personal opinion, I'm not speaking for the board, but my personal opinion is that we need to look for real solutions and not Band-Aids. So as much as I appreciate potholes, it's making our job harder over the long term, because until we make this a critical issue to where people pay attention and they're willing to buy in, I think if we put Band-Aids on this, we're extending this out another 2 or 4 or 6 years and making it harder for us as a board to actually solve the problem. So I would be very hesitant to look at minor revenue streams coming in, 100,000 here, 200,000 there, so that we can go out and seal some cracks that does not extend the life of the roads. It might be a feel-good project that makes the public think that we're out there doing something, but the truth of the matter is it doesn't help the road system, and it's not a solution to the problem. And we need to be looking for real solutions.
Well, I would agree we need to be looking for real solutions. I never fought you on that, Brad, but I just that's great political analysis, but in terms of the fact that the roads are deteriorating the way they are, I can't agree that we don't need to fix the potholes and the cracks, particularly the winter we just had. I don't remember what the vote was, but just because less than half of the voters voted for it doesn't mean they don't want them fixed. I think even as I said in a meeting not long ago, that even the ones who voted against it were sort of in the camp that the city manager was talking about, that it wasn't that they don't want the roads fixed, it's that they don't trust us. So I don't think you help the trust by letting the cracks get wider. That's all I'm saying. So your analysis is correct in terms of the final need, but I don't look at them as feel-good fixes. I look at them as a need too. The roads are just, you know, they're bad in places. It's really bad, and so we can't let them continue to go. And I don't think pot's a great way to fix potholes, but if that's what's available, that's what I'll take.
Well, I think, Brad, that also starts the public trust part that everyone talked about, though. How do you gain the public trust is things like, I agree with you, the roads are important to Carson City, and when we have opportunities, we do everything we can to meet your highest priority. I think something that the city manager said earlier, I think it's very important for us to figure out what is the priority of the community. And if they tell us roads is that priority, then when we have opportunities, we are putting the dollars there. And so that, how do you start building the trust that I don't just want to tax you and get every dime I can from you? When there is money available, I'm going to put that dollar to it also. So I think we tread a very fine line of just what you said. Do I
I don't think we're bailing them out. I think it's we're admitting we don't have enough money to do roads. We're going to take this funding source that doesn't, that is new to us. We can fund the budget that we have, so for pity's sake, we're going to go and hit that highest priority that we have, which is roads. So we're in it with you, is kind of the way I look at it to the community, that I am ever mindful of your budget and your money. And if I can, I'm going to meet the road. And I'm not so sure that potholes, I think it's a cute acronym that we're all going pot for potholes, but I don't know if we shouldn't really generate the dollars. One of the things sitting on RTC lately is determining that, so I'm going to go kind of with what Brad says. I'd like that money to go for potentially a plan that you bring back to us in your goal stuff. That is it extension of roads that really brings useful life, or fill in a crack? So in part of that, if we're going to be going down that road, if we could have a true white paper on, is it better to put the money in cracks and potholes or in true extensions and rebuilds? So we have an opportunity potentially with $1 million to make a better decision on the use of our dollars. So
well,
if you could work that goal, I want
to add
it.
One more thing to that, and I'm not joking about how you did the repair of the Timberline. That road surface seems more stable now than it's ever been. So
right.
Is there a different method that we should be exploring to make our dollars go further? Sometimes, you know, happy accident is an opportunity to look at something a little bit different. So I'm just wondering if we might look at it that way.
I still think that we need to be careful, because again, I think that if you fill a crack or you fill a pothole, you make one person happy and you generate 10 angry calls to Patrick.
I want mine done.
And we can't do them all. Right. So I just think you need to be careful, because the overall aesthetics of this situation, I don't think reflects reality. And at some point we have to find the solution, the real solution.
But as you've said, Brad, and I don't disagree with you in the slightest, the real solution is $100 million. That's out of reach
well,
at this point.
I don't think it is out of reach. There's ways to do it. And that's
no, at this point. Three down, four down years, maybe so. It's going to take a while, don't you agree?
Yeah. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think we also have to be careful. If we do go down a marijuana route, we need to understand that there may be unanticipated costs that go associated with that, like enforcement. Things of that nature. We may need to do things like that. So I don't think we can just go say that we're going to allocate all the marijuana money to go down there to roads. I mean, because there'll be other social costs that we don't know yet are there. And I just want to make sure that we're being responsible to those costs as well, because that's one of the reasons why there's $5 million each year for us here.
Mr. Mayor, I knew that argument was coming, and I wish it hadn't come from you, because you're such an eloquent politician. But the truth of the matter is, we have to absorb some costs here, too. I mean, the truth of the matter is that it's a matter of priorities, and this is one that's been left behind. And I don't disagree with you. There will be social costs. There will be social costs.
I think that it's probably a very unreliable funding source, because we have no control over what happens at the federal enforcement level, and that revenue could go away overnight.
I agree with that.
So I certainly don't want to depend on it.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You don't put it in.
I don't think it will, but then, you know, that's anybody's guess at this point.
So just one more key point, I think, talking about roads here, because regardless of where we go in terms of additional revenue, or in my assessment, what we need is a whole different funding formula. That's going to require a legislative fix. Things that the Board of Supervisors can do that would make a big impact, for example, once LOMPA gets built, LOMPA and probably the Vintage, that's really the last two big remaining plots of land. A lot of what has got, and it's not just Carson City, cities all over the country, every city is in the same boat. is the way that development has taken place in the country. Suburban style development, you know, the Long Ranches and the Silver Oaks of the world do not pay for the infrastructure that they occupy. Denser development and cities that encourage denser development are the only, to me, that's another way out of the predicament that we're in. We are starting to see, certainly in the core, in the urban core here, so to speak, more dense development starting to take place. And I think policies that the board adopts that encourage that and disincentivize other types of development are something that you may want to look at. I mean, that's another way out. Increasing the density per square acre cuts down on the infrastructure.
Are you talking about increasing the density or creating a PUD type development where you concentrate the density?
Increasing the density. Increasing.
Not concentrating.
Not concentrating. Concentrating is a way that a developer, that's a method a developer uses to get at a certain number of units.
Go ahead. You want to say more?
No. It's the density that's important.
And I'm glad this discussion has led us to this, and this is almost off the wall from what we're talking about, but would you also bring it back, make us back a report on how we can encourage downtown housing? Because we're seeing an incubation of some of that downtown, and I'd like to see more of it, but that's a little bit of an off-the-wall comment.
I think you'll see it. I don't think we need to do anything. You'll see it because that's where development is
headed.
I hope so. But it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah. But I've been a huge advocate of that for 35 years, and you gotta do what you can to lay the groundwork if you can.
Well, I think those are all, the density issues, the fascinating issue to talk about. I think we need to take a look closer to that. I don't know. Anything else you got?
Gave you enough work for 2 years? I remember that's your next year's goals.
Yeah. Next year I won't go for 1.5, I'll go for 3.
Understand right that the market for medical marijuana that comes out of our parts, the sales that comes out across the city, the major market is Douglas County. Do I understand that correctly?
It is a major market.
It is a major market.
A percentage. On a retail level, it's about 50%. I thought it was about 50-50 local Carson City.
Compared
to 60-40. Or 60-40.
So does that include Lyon then?
I think it would include Lyon.
I would think.
Yeah. I thought you said 40% local, 60% between Lyon and Douglas.
Right. So it's a big number.
And then a lot from the cultivation even to Las Vegas.
Well, I think that's an interesting comment because I suspect that the same thing would happen on retail marijuana, mm-hmm. whether it's here or Reno or wherever. Mm-hmm. I guess the message there is that you can do certain things by zoning, but I don't know what message they've sent down there because they're a large part of the market right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they zoned it out, but really they haven't. I mean, it's a bigger area than we have. So, I don't know where that fits into the argument over on whether we should do or not do, but I think that's something we need to think about along with how we deal with it. We deal at all with the Indian Gate, with Indian tribal lands. So,
yeah. I think it goes to Brad's comment is we shouldn't put it into money that would be salary dependent or anything because Douglas County might change their ordinance or Lyon County could change their ordinance at any time, and there goes
and Jeff Sessions. Revenue sources Jeff Sessions might
could change. Right? Sure. So I agree, it should be.
Well, we have precedents. For example, when you put the additional revenue in a fiscal year ago, we set up that wide crack ceiling program. I think it was a little over $300,000. So
just one time,
right? Or something that you could
asset
fund
management.
You could fund it every year. it wouldn't be that you'd be stuck with it.
Well, and again, I'm cognizant of what Brad's saying, and I'm not advocating for it, because if I had my druthers, we wouldn't have passed recreational marijuana in the first place in this state. But that horse left the barn already, so it's just something I'm saying. But the fun part of this, if we wound up, and I say fun facetiously, if we wound up sealing the cracks and then Jeff Sessions took it away, people would realize that they tried and then it went away, and we got to do something. But Brad's point isn't badly taken. It's a difficult sell, and we need to find a way to sell a bigger pot of money if we're going to fix it ever. There's no doubt about that.
Bigger pot of money?
Bigger pot of pot? No. Bigger pot of money.
To also just make a quick comment that Nick, you, in your original presentation, one of the things that you emphasized was the team that you have built. And I just want to thank everybody in this room, except you, Chris.
Hello.
she's not an employee. So, but I have a relationship with every single one of you, and I commend all of you for your responsiveness and your willingness to work with me. And I know it's just me saying the personality, but I really appreciate the fact that you guys are always responsive, you're always respectful, you're always solution-oriented, customer-oriented. I forward complaints to you from constituents all the time. You guys are on it. You always take care of it immediately. And so I just wanted to say thank you to every one of you, and thank you for the trickle-down effect, you know, for creating that team and emphasizing customer service. So, and I appreciate your image.
All right. Anything else?
So, just before you make the motion, if you are going
to. No, before you, we're going to make a motion. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Point. So, I didn't know what you would do in terms of a merit pay increase, but I've been thinking about that since you brought it up, Mr. Mayor. So, with the board's concurrence, assuming I could do this legally, what I'd like to be able to do is take $1,000 of that and develop an employee of the quarter program. You know, one of the things that was clear to me, it's been clear to me since I've been here, but it crystallized during the flood response. We have outstanding people who work for city government, and I'd like to recognize on a quarterly basis at least one of them. Maybe he or she could take his or her spouse up to the lake.
I think that speaks well to you. Maybe we should see where this goes. I think, you know, the motion board, if we want to go down this road, is to move that the city manager's base performance measures for the last year, and that he merits a 3% increase in his salary. And then he can mix it. I don't know if you heard that. And but what he's suggesting is, if we do a 3% increase to him, he'll take $1,000 of that for an employee of the quarter fund to give to employees to help spur camaraderie and things of that nature. So,
you, by directed donation?
Directed donation.
So, Nick, do you want it in your raise, or you want us to give you 3% less than $1,000 so you don't pay taxes on it?
Right.
I just thought I'd help you here. Which would you prefer?
Well, but I'm not
3% less than $1,000.
Tax on $1,000. I just think the disbursement would be a lot easier if
through the city. So you want a 3% less than $1,000 to go to a directed donation account,
right?
For a
city. And I don't know if I need authority, but if I have the authority to establish that program.
We'll do the 3%, and then you can see where talking to Melanie.
How you want to set that?
I see our HR person. You know, she know our financial officer. She left. You know, saying all good things about her. Now she's gone.
Just to keep it in the city manager budget to award it. Yeah.
All right. Everybody okay with that motion?
Yes.
Everybody understand the motion? Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. The motion is we find that. The city manager's made his performance measures for the last year, and we believe that he has merits a 3% increase in his salary. We believe that he's done an admirable job, and if he so chooses to set aside a certain amount of that as a directed
donations towards the political court, he can do that if he's going to accept.
Discussion?
Discussion.
Make an opportunity to allow all the board members to second the motion if they choose?
Sure.
I'd like to second it as well.
Okay.
Do it by acclamation.
Right, by acclamation.
Thank you.
We just have to do a, I think we just have to, we really have a motion, don't we? Or can we just do a?
Yes. I don't know, looking for the thing. You'd have to do a motion because the agenda also
calls for a motion
if you're going to give him a merit
increase.
Well,
we made a motion with 4 seconds.
Okay.
Is that right?
With a merit increase for 3%.
Right.
Actually, I've only been half a year. I'll third it.
Is that okay with the board? We want to do something? I think, you know, what that says, city manager, is, I don't really need to tell you this, but, you know, that statement that the Supervisor Rutkowski made, you know, that we all want to ink in on it, speaks volumes for what we're thinking. So, go from there. All right, on the motion, all in favor, somebody say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Wait a minute. HR has come.
Sorry, I each have been fast enough, but you need to set the objectives for fiscal year 2018, so I was just going to ask for you to include in your motion.
Well, we're going to have, I'm going to suggest anyway, the board, unless the board says, we want to have the city manager bring back those objectives and we'll rule it. We'll take them up at another board meeting, so he's got a chance to synthesize
them. Type them all out.
Yeah, we gave him our.
Is that all right?
Request.
Yeah, I have them.
Okay, put them together so that then we'll have a board meeting.
We'll just put them on a formal next agenda to adopt them as the next set of goals.
Is that all right with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
You're still giving a stink eye all the time.
But she's doing a good job that we don't forget to adopt the goals.
Why is it such a stink eye? What did I do wrong?
No, it's fine.
We'll have them at the next meeting, though. She needs adopted goals.
We'll have them at a future board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you won't have them at the next board.
Because that's cut off.
First meeting in July.
Put them together, and then we'll take them up on the first meeting in July.
That works.
If we were in a hurry, we'd be young.
No, I understand.
All right. We'll do it. Anything else? No?
Stick out? Okay, thank you.
All right. Board comments? Anybody?
I did want to ask, and I only ask this out of, again, nodding to my former type of employment. How was the decision made to hold this so that it couldn't be viewed by the public?
Actually, the decision was kind of made between Nick and I.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to have it more of a professional boardroom.
Well, I think that's good, but I'm cognizant of the fact
not
that
to
it's,
hide it.
I didn't think you were trying to hide it, but it's during the day and people didn't get to see it. So I don't know. Next year I might dig my heels in, but you'll probably ignore me.
Oh, well, if I can just add that I just did the Visitors Bureau and it was open to the public, so it wasn't televised either.
Oh, yeah, I understand. So, I mean, I'm not.
Open transparency that we are.
I'm just jumping on the transparency bandwagon.
But I hope they don't have to be.
And I can say that it was hard to coordinate all your schedules and that this was really, unfortunately, Supervisor Bonkowski even had to rearrange his calendar today to make this time work. So it's not the city manager's fault that we didn't have.
No, I didn't say it was anybody's fault. I just was curious.
No, we just meant televised.
Televised. I was only concerned about the fact that the public couldn't see it. That's all.
I haven't seen these in a little bit. Could have some air conditioning here.
Yeah, that's another concern.
Yeah, they're sweating something pretty good. All right. Comments are well taken. I mean, and please let the public know that this is not designed to hide. So, I mean, look, we've got the First Amendment. We've got former First Amendment. We've got current First Amendment. We've got people here. I'm sure. Okay. Anyway, anything else to come? Anybody? Mel, are we done?
We're done. Thank you.
Adriana? Second stink eye, we okay?
Good job.
All right. Unless there's an objection, we're done. Adjourned.
Good job.